We're going to finish that tonight. I'm going to cover point number three. I've been waiting for weeks to get to this. A new song in heaven. I tease Barb that whenever she's not here, I cover a lot more ground. I don't know why, but go back with me, Amber. Let's go ahead and begin at the very beginning because it's been a while since we've been in this. We've looked at the singers in the new heaven, which will be us, and it'll be all of creation. And whenever you read in chapter 5, you see the 24 elders and you see the four beasts. The four beasts represent the creation of God. The 24 elders represent the redeemed of God, those of us, all right? And so those are the identities, and you see that everybody's singing. The instruments that they use are instruments of praise, and we talked about prophecy, and of course, we always have to deal with prayer, the sweet aroma of the prayer of the saints. So you had the singers, and then you had the subject. What were they singing about? Well, they're singing about Calvary. They're singing about the redemption, the price that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things that you and I will be singing for many years when we get to heaven. I do not believe on this side of heaven that we can even begin to get a grasp of the cost that Jesus paid for our sins. But I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to begin to identify as we look around and we experience all that heaven is, we realize what all Jesus gave up in order to redeem you and I. And then will we only begin to realize the huge gulf between saved and unsaved. Just the gulf will be unimaginable because we'll finally see what holiness really is, what holiness really looks like. And where we see the holy as those angelic beings circle around the throne of God crying, holy, 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 and you and I will experience holy, 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 we'll finally begin to understand how unholy we were. And that new song will be a song of praise. And so the subject of it, they'll sing about the Lamb, they'll sing about His passion. And I think last week, week before last week, we kind of ended with some words of the song, some of the songs that we sing today. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Imagine 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 of people singing that. Imagine what that sound would be. So go with me now to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. And we're going to hit the third point tonight. And we're going to call the third point the scope. The scope of heaven's song. And by the word scope, we mean the whole or the extent of it, the entirety of its limits, all right? As far as it reaches. So let's read the chapter again, beginning in verse number 1. I'll learn how to pronounce my words properly in just a minute, I think. So as in verse number 1, chapter 5, Revelation. By the way, it is the Revelation. It is not Revelations plural. It is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revealing of the Son of God. That doesn't happen until we get to Revelation 19, though. So it says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. By the way, this seven-sealed book is going to be the focal point of the next six or eight chapters in the book of the Revelation as it's being unrolled. And it says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? By the way, that's a rhetorical statement, a rhetorical question. The angel knows the answer to that. They're just proclaiming that Jesus is worthy. It says, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to look upon or to able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God, and by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hadst made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels. I wonder how many many is. Many angels. Round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as in the sea, and all them that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Back to verse number 11. The scope of heaven's new song. We see the celestial beings praise the Lord. It says in verse number 11, it says, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. John tries to tell us how many angels begin to praise the Lord, but the number was too great for him to fathom. John says it's as many as you can imagine, times that many again, and many more thousands beside that. You know what he's saying? Wow. He said thousands times thousands and whatever. Just went on and on. But what are these angels doing? They're praising their Creator. Did you notice that it says the redeemed one sung, but the angels sang? You'll see that throughout the Word of God. You know, I heard a man make a comment one time. He says, well, I know angels sing because the Bible says, hark the herald angels sing. And it's like, well, no, that's not in the Bible. That's a song. If you read the Bible, you'll get to the place where, and matter of fact, hey, I tell you what, go back with me to Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 2, hold your finger here in Revelation. We're going to come back to there. But I cannot think of a single verse in the Bible that says angels can sing. No doubt they probably can, but maybe they can't. I'll give you guys something to chew on about that here in a minute. Every time they praise the Lord, they say, even at the birth of the Lord Jesus, the angelic host said what was on their mind. Read with me in verse number 8. It says, chapter 2 of Luke, it says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Boy, that's a big misunderstatement. Here they are in the middle of nowhere, complete darkness, and all of a sudden the sky lights up, and his angelic host there. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. You say, how many is a multitude? Well, John calls it 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, a multitude. So a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and what? Saying. You know what the underlying Greek word there means? Saying. To speak with the mouth. Say. Not sing. Say. Say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All right? So you see that. The only verse that even comes close to talking about the angels singing is found in the book of Job. Job chapter 38, it says that the, oh goodness, they sang. The morning, no, I have to read it now. I thought I had it so I could quote it. I hate it when I do that. Job, let me find it. I don't want you guys to think I'm telling you a story. Job. Where's it at? Job. It says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So morning star. I don't know. So, but that still doesn't say angels sing. Morning stars. Dr. Criswell was a longtime pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I think he was there for 50-something years. First Baptist Church of Dallas was one of the first mega churches in America. For years, they ran 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, and they grew from there. I remember reading an article a while back. They were offered an enormous sum of money to move out of downtown because there were office complexes and all that wanted to tear it down. They owned 2 or 3 city blocks. And so they were offered an enormous sum if they move out to the suburbs. But they said, no, God planted us here in the heart of Dallas, and that's where we intend to stay. Oh, wouldn't it be great if more churches would have done that through the years? So many churches have abandoned our downtown to move out to the suburbs. And as a result, our downtown areas, our inner cities have suffered because of it. But I remember reading recently that they had just embarked on a new $110 million building project. $110 million. Part of that is because they've run out of room to park, and they had to build a 13 or 14 story parking garage for all of their people to come and park. It's amazing what God's done through the years. But W.A. Criswell was a longtime pastor there, written several books, and here's what he writes about all this. And those of you that have a musical sense, you'll get some of this. He said, music is made up of major chords and minor chords. The minor chords speak of the wretchedness, death, and sorrow of fallen creation. Most of nature groans and moans in a plaintive and minor key. He says, the sound of the wind through the forest, the sound of the storm, the sound of the wind around the house is always in a minor key. It wails. The sound of the ocean moans in its restlessness. It's speechless. It is speechless trouble. Even the nightingale song, the sweetest song of the birds, is the saddest. Most of the sounds of nature are in a minor key. It reflects the wretchedness, the despair, the hurt, the agony, and the travail of the fallen creation. But an angel knows nothing about that. An angel knows nothing of the wretchedness, nothing of the despair, nothing of the fall of the lost race. The major key and the major chords are chords of triumph and victory. Surely God has taken us out of miry clay and taken us out of a horrible pit. He has set our feet upon a rock, and He's put a new song in our souls, new praises on our lips. But the angel knows nothing of this. An angel has never been redeemed. An angel has never been saved. An angel has never fallen, been brought back to God. That's the only reason why I find it as to say why angels never sing. It is God's people who sing. That's why the redeemed sing, he writes. And the angels just speak about it. They see it, they watch it, but they know nothing about it personally. It takes a lost and fallen man who has been brought back to God, who has been forgiven of his sin, who has been redeemed. It takes a saved soul to sing. And I thought, huh, I don't know about all that. But interesting, isn't it? I've never thought about it in that. But if you read through the Bible, the angels are always saying, because they don't understand redemption. They look in on it. But a fallen man that's been redeemed, he can sing. There's a singing. A song in his heart. The psalmist writes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, established my goings, and he hath put what? A new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So let's look and see what these angels proclaim. And in fact, really at this point, there's a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. Notice what they're saying in verse number 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Notice, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Power. I guess I have some questions to ask tonight. He is worthy to have power over our lives, over the church and the world. But here's the question. If he's worthy of power, do I let him lead in my life? I should, right? Amen? But if he's worthy of... By the way, worship comes from the root word of worth-ship. We worship what we assign worth to. And God is worth everything in our lives, and because of that, we worship Him. But He's worthy of power. He's worthy of riches. So here's the thought. He is worthy to have our finances and our possessions. Do we tithe and give to the Lord's work? Do we use our possessions for Him, such as our car or our home? He's worthy of our riches. He's worthy of all the planet's riches. Then He's also, notice, riches, power and riches and wisdom. He's worthy to receive our attention and to use our minds for His glory and His service. Use the Lord's gift to us for study of the Word and memorize Scripture. But what do we use our minds for? Oftentimes our minds are flitting around on something else, full of Facebook memes and Facebook pictures and the latest news, and we're worried about the weather. You know, we always worry about the weather. There's nothing we do about it. Tornado comes, we hide, like the song says, amen, till the storm passes by. And if you don't see the storm pass by and it takes you with it, then praise God, you're going to heaven. But sometimes we allow our minds to be filled with things that are not worthy of God's honor. He's worthy of wisdom. He's worthy of strength. If He's worthy of strength, He's worthy to receive our strength for His service. Do I use my energy for Him? Do I use it in witnessing and serving in the church and seeking Him? Or do I waste my strength doing other things? He's worthy of these things. And if He's worthy of them, then you and I ought to return that back to Him. That's how we worship Him. That's how we praise Him. Of honor. Does my life bring honor to Him? Glory? He's worthy of the devotion of our life and bringing glory to Him. Do I glorify the Lord with my life? The word glorify or bring glory to really it carries with the idea that we, with our lives, we need to reflect God in such a way that He looks good to other people. How many of you have ever heard people say, well, I know a bunch of Christians that are hypocrites? How many of you hear that statement, right? How many ever heard people say, well, I know a bunch of Christians that really honor God? I know a bunch of Christians that they remind me of what Jesus would be. They're a whole lot quicker to point out the negative than the positive. Amen? So you and I should reflect the positive, because there's some people that come in our lives, they need to see Jesus in us. Blessing. The idea of blessing is praise. You know, you read in the Old Testament, the old men, when they were getting ready to die, they would bless the families and bless the family members. Do I bless the Lord with my mouth and my life? The psalmist writes, and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You know what he's saying? I want to praise God with my life. So, look at the verse again. And when you read those words, ask, am I worshiping God with my life in such a way that He truly is worthy of this? Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. Where's He going to receive it from? You and I? He's going to receive our strength, our power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So we see here in this first part, the celestial beings praise the Lord and then the created beings. Verse 13 is an amazing verse. It's a verse, I don't know if I completely have it accurately, but I'm going to give you hopsonology on it, okay? I'm going to tell you the best that I can come up with. But I see in this verse, let me read it, and then I'll explain. It says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say." All right? So, here's an amazing verse. While heaven is consumed with the praises of the Lord, imagine what's going on. Earth is busy rejecting God and continuing its slide right into the very flames of hell. A worship service breaks out in heaven. But then every creature in the universe, look at it again, verse 13, and every creature in the universe joins in to praise the Lamb. Think about it. How many of you believe with me that words mean things? All right? Every creature. Does that mean every creature? Does that mean every creature in heaven? Does that mean every creature on earth? Does that mean every creature that's not on the earth? Maybe, you know, those UFOs are really real? I don't know. It's funny how as we get farther and farther away from conceptual truth, from real truth, and we begin to go with man's idea of truth, all of a sudden we find UFOs and all that. Excuse me. Okay, I'm done. Maybe one more. I guess I swallowed a bug. Don't come around me, I might have COVID. Think about it. Every lost sinner, every devil of hell, even Satan himself. Excuse me. We'll lift their voices together. Notice, they're not singing the song of the redeemed. What they're doing is they're giving praise to God. There are some verses that say this is going to happen. The verses are, I'll tell you where they're at. I won't make you turn to them. But if you take notes, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." So we see that, I'll get my voice back in a moment. They will not be able to help themselves. They will bend their knees, and they'll lift their voices in praise. This verse here is a fulfillment of the prophecies, the promises made in Philippians and Romans when it deals with every knee bowing. Now, there's coming another time when every knee will bow. That'll be at the judgment seat and times like that, great white throne judgment. But obviously, right here, this verse says every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say. Notice what they're saying. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. What a day that will be. When the God-denying, Christ-rejecting world will literally praise the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that proves? Jesus is God. You'll notice, though, here's the key. You'll notice they don't praise him for redemption. They cannot because they've never experienced it. They praise him for who he is. Notice the words again. It says, "Heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." What a day when all of creation, imagine this creation that now groans, as Paul said, it groans and it travails right now. all of creation cannot contain itself. Can you imagine? Remember whenever we had all the cicadas here? I miss the cicadas. I really do. But remember we had all of them here and the noise that was going on? Can you imagine if that noise from just the insect world, just the insect world, if just that noise was used and we could understand it as praise and worship to God? Can you imagine? How many voices would that be in your backyard? 10 million? 50 million? Now imagine that times 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. All of creation, the groanings that we hear, the wind blowing through the trees and all of that. All of a sudden, all of that is being turned now into praise. No wonder heaven shouts out. No wonder the angels sing out. No wonder the redeemed sing out in praise. Because all of creation is finally seeing for the first time ever. They're noticing this. God is God. But you know what I find out so sad about this? I wonder, I don't know exactly where this passage takes place. I think it's all at the beginning. I think it's in chronological order. Imagine, all of creation pauses somewhere in time. All of creation pauses. And they all praise God. But then it's like, it just continues on after that. And they continue to reject Him. They continue to not want anything to do with Him. They continue to persecute the believers after they've all stopped and paused. Because now, verse number 14. The Word of God says, and the four beasts said, Amen. You know what they said? So it is, and let it be so. Amen. And whenever the four beasts say that, which represents creation, of course, the four and twenty elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. When they join in, the 24 elders cannot contain themselves. And they fall down before the Lamb, really, in spontaneous, open worship. You know, I was thinking about a hymn. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, turn in your hymn books. I don't know which one we sing. All Hail the Power. Which one do we sing? 47 or 45? Steve, you have to tell me. Because they've got different letters beside them. B, B, and G. I don't know what that means. So, do you know which one we sing? We use? What is it? 45? BB? Okay, all right. All right. Everybody turn to hymn number 45. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I didn't know where it was found in our hymn book, but I was thinking about it. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, that's us by the way, hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng, you know what that is? 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands. That's a sacred throng. Amen. We at His feet may fall. That's right here in verse number 14. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Whenever I think about this, I think of all hail the power of Jesus' name. What a mighty God we serve. What a glorious glimpse we're getting here in the Revelation. Chapter 6, the scroll begins to be unrolled. The scene changes. No longer heaven's throne room, no longer about all creation stopping and praising Him. We're about to see the justice of God being meted out. The righteousness, the judgment, and the holiness of God. But in the midst of all of this, we're still going to see the love of God. And we're going to still see the grace of God. Because except those days be shortened, everybody would perish. God has a purpose for this. And we'll begin to reveal that next week. I encourage you, read chapter 6 this week, meditate on it. And let's think through our lives and ask ourselves, am I really demonstrating worship to Him in the area of power and riches and honor and glory and all that? May our lives be a testimony to this truth. Jesus saved me. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for this time together. We're honored as we read the Word of God to have it in a language that we can understand. We're honored.